Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and it's April 15th, 2019, and it will go down in history as the day that Notre Dame Cathedral died. Today I was going to talk about how we talk with our animals, but one of the jobs in my life is to speak with and for other beings when none of us can hear them. So I'm going to talk from my heart today, and I know I'll speak for yours as well. We're going to talk about what happened today at Notre Dame Cathedral and the death of this beautiful and ancient building and what that means and how I know this kind of thing and how I got this weird job that I have. So I didn't even know if the show will go an entire hour. I'm just going to talk to you about what I know. And we'll go from there. So, welcome again. Normally, you can call the show and chat today, but I think I'm just going to talk about what I know and share this with you. And as we get started, as we do each week, let's start with a quick grounding and balancing with the crystal Fallon. Fallon is a citrine Lemurian quartz. And just take a moment to take a deep breath, to draw back from the sadness and allow ourselves to get grounded and balanced here in the space together so that we can, as humanity, offer love and honor to the soul as it passes. And if you take your attention to the top of your head, mind, body, and spirit coming together in celebration. Breathing down from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, let go of the cares of the day. Come together here in community. Breathe in the energy that is Fallon from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet and reversing that energy line and back up again. So, you know, we all have a job in the world. We have a job to take our bodies, whatever bodies we've chosen, and to grow our souls in that particular form. One of the things that I do in the world is talk to people about the reality that we humans are not the only beings that have souls. That everything we see out there has a soul, and many things that we don't. For example, we see the effects of hurricanes in the world, but we don't think of them as having souls. But everything has a soul. It's a mindset that I call planetary connection, and that was taught to me by the beings that I work with. Now, I was actually born with the ability to connect with non-humans. And I'm not trying to set myself up as some sort of whatever. But I'm an ordinary human being that has the ability to talk with non-humans. I was doing that as a child and didn't realize that other people couldn't do that or that wasn't considered normal. But as you grow up, you block those kind of things. And it took many years for those abilities to come back. And that's why I'm passionate now about helping other people learn to tap their basic intuitive and healing abilities so that we can take our place as equals in the world with all life, and so that we can understand how beautiful the world is, how connected the world is, and how much we're missing by putting blinkers on and going about our days, not realizing how everything else is doing its job in the world, whether it's a tree, a hurricane, the chair that I'm sitting in, the desk that calls herself Hotshot that I work from, all of the beings that are around us, our homes and our businesses. And cathedrals, churches, they are different beings. And they're different because of the history behind them. So as I start to talk today, here's what's going on in the world around me. As I finished up my Facebook Live this morning, I heard about the fire at Notre Dame Cathedral. So, shocked and stunned, I checked it out and immediately realized that this would be most likely the end of this being's life. And so I started to chat with her. And I will talk to you about what I learned, some of the things that I've learned. And one of those is that, as we all know, this is an old soul. Notre Dame Cathedral was first commissioned in the 12th century, took over 200 years to build, and had been damaged before by human arrogance and greed, by war, and today by accident. As I talked with the cathedral, I like, what happened? And she showed me, and she very much a feminine presence. She showed me that it was people that were in there working and fixing things. And I'm like, what? I did not understand at the time what she was trying to say. What she was trying to say is that they've been working on renovating the building and something went wrong. A spark of fire or something. It does not appear to be deliberate. It certainly did not appear that way to the cathedral itself, that this was deliberate. But it's a devastating accident that has changed history and has changed the face of France and the world, and in many important ways. And the first way that I'd like to help you understand this, as I understand it, is that when Christianity and other newer religions came along, what they did was basically co-opt ancient power sites where people from previous spiritual traditions would gather and worship and understand that the ley lines, like our blood vessels running through the planet, would converge in certain areas, and those are ancient power sites. And at those sites, people could gather. They could connect with the divine in a more intimate and easier way, and they would worship and they would celebrate that the world and the universe was bigger than they were, and that there was more to the world than we could see. And one way of trying to change how people think and live is to take over those sites and build something else on it. So that's how these ancient churches around the world, these ancient monuments to religion, were constructed. I'm not saying that was evil. I'm just saying that that's how it happened. And the life that then create that, as they were building this cathedral, then a soul came into it in the same way that a soul comes into our bodies. A soul became Notre Dame Cathedral. And this was, a remarkable being, this beautiful church. I've been there several times. It's amazing what human ingenuity can do. It's amazing what we are thinking of as we build something that huge. If you've ever been inside an ancient church like that, an ancient cathedral, and I'm saying cathedral in terms of these massive structures on the same order of like a castle in ancient times. These were meant as symbols of power, but also symbols of worship and respect for the divine. And I remember the first time I stood in an ancient cathedral, and it was that same reflection in whatever cathedral I was in throughout Europe. It reminded me of my childhood growing up in and being able to visit an old growth forest in Oregon, where I grew up, and sitting there in the middle of the old growth forest, where the trees just rose up and you couldn't even see the sky. The trees were so tall. And I always felt when I was in one of those cathedrals that you could feel our ancestors reaching for the sky within their religious tradition, reaching for the heavens, if you will, if you believe that, reaching for eternity. And the awe that comes over you when you're inside these huge structures is incredible. So, yes, they were monuments to power. They were monuments to a Christian faith. They were monuments to our ability to create something that could stand through the centuries and remind us that we are part of something larger than ourselves. And when people come together in places like that to worship whatever religion that they're part of, that deepens that sacred connection. So imagine in a place like Notre Dame that people were coming to worship in their Christian faith, they were also standing on an ancient power site connected to all that is in the universe, to us in our human bodies, to beings that we call our spiritual team, to deities, which I didn't believe in until they started showing up and knocking on my door going like, huh, grow up, girl, we're real. So there is that. But today we saw something different. Today we saw the world come together in grief to mourn the passing of an old soul. So let me tell you a little bit about that. And we're going to break for normal commercials here in a few 5 minutes. Like I said, this show may not go an hour, but I need to tell you what I know. So I'm speaking, first of all, let me tell you that the soul that was in Notre Dame Cathedral has moved on to the afterlife. And I know that because I helped her with a friend. And that's one of the things that we do in the world. And I'll tell you about that, how we help this ancient soul, which we're all ancient, right? But the soul leave this ancient building and say farewell to the people of France and to the world. And I'll tell you what's coming next. But let me tell you why I'm speaking to this. Again, I can hear things talking with us, and I understand and I know from my experience that everything is alive. And just last week I worked with a ship that's being turned into an adventure cruise ship in Alaska, and it was very excited and it was very telling. It was telling me about what its life had been like so far, and when I explained that to the current owners, their eyes went wide and they're like, there's no way she could know this. There's nothing written down anywhere. There's no way she could know this unless she was talking to the ship. So that's an unusual job of mine. A lot of us have unusual jobs. My animals have unusual jobs, and part of the reason that my animals, the souls that are in those animals, and I are together is because we've been doing this work together for many lifetimes. We've been helping human connect with other. And my job is a translator, if you will. Sometimes I call it being an ambassador to other dimensions. But I don't think of ambassador as this big mucky-muck job. I think of it as the person that can translate human to other and other to human. And it's kind of a paperwork kind of job. It's a kind of job where people who come and they hear me tell stories about the different beings that I meet, they go like, oh man, that sounds so interesting. I would like to meet them. Those are the people that are important. the people that I introduce to other, who set up their own relationships with them, and learn to find out what other beings are doing in their families, what they're doing out in the world. And that's how we build relationships. That's how we build the world that we came here to create. That's how we bring that world back, by connecting to others. And my job is to simply tell you that those others are out there, and what they say to me, and what I know, and what I can do for them. I'd say, unfortunately for me, no one pays me for this. Maybe they will someday. Oh, and they do, like the ship owners. But for these big jobs like this, it's something that our souls have told us it's time for us to do again. And we do it because that's part of who we are as we're here in our bodies, growing our souls. So as we get ready to break here, I will tell you that the first thing that you should know today about the death of Notre Dame Cathedral is that it is one sign of the change in the world as the old gives way to the new. One sign of change in the world today as the old gives way to the new.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Namaste, friends. This is Deva Pramal and Mitten. And we want to let you know that we will be in America and Canada this May. We'll be coming with our Wings of Mantra World Tour, coming up the West Coast to Boulder, Santa Fe, Sedona, Scottsdale, Santa Barbara, L.A., Marin, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Escondido, Edmonds, and up to Canada to Victoria and Vancouver. You can find details on our website, devapramalmiten.com. Hope to see you there. Lots of love. Namaste.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and today I've changed the subject of my show to talk about the death of Notre Dame Cathedral. And I'm very emotional about it, as you can hear in my voice, because I've been there, because I know what these centers of connection mean to the people of the world. I know what ancient heritage sites mean to us all. It's a way of us connecting to our ancestors, connecting to our history, remembering our history. And the more we remember of our history, the more we can move forward and try not to make the same mistakes that our ancestors made. We'll make all different ones. That's true. But to build on the love and the connection that they were trying to build on in these ancient sites. And I know when I visited Europe in the past, for those of you who have not, the buildings of these cathedrals were central to the lives of the communities. This cathedral and many others, it wasn't built overnight. It took several hundred years from the beginning to the end. I mean, the people had to envision this project, and then as they built it, they had to make alterations to make sure it could stand. And they had to have this vision of what power would look like, if you will, but glory and love and connection and reverence would look like. And reverence is something we seem to be losing track of in our world. It's not something we see every night on the news when we hear people talking so poorly to each other, whether our politicians or even people in the street. But today, here, I live in a little beach community in Seattle, Washington, and I took my dog for a walk after my Facebook Live, and there are people standing out on the sidewalk, staring out at the ocean, crying. Because they know what this event means to them. And I will tell you what they know now in France is that they do not think they will be able to save anything of this magnificent cathedral. That they're trying now just to get out what artifacts they can before the building is completely destroyed. So let's talk about these buildings and these souls. So when I first went to talk to her and I introduced myself to her and told her how sorry I was for this fire, she said, "I can't let go. I can't let go. I can't let go." And I said, "Well, nobody's asking you to. I'm just telling you how sorry I am. And I know that the people are grieving." And in fact, as I later discovered, the people in Paris are standing there watching this death happen. She said, "I can't let go." And I said, "I'm very sorry. How can I help you?" And so here's a moment of humor for you, because a friend of mine and I were talking with her together. And my friend is of a different faith, and I used to be Catholic, so I'm not anymore. And then we said, "How can we help you?" And she goes, "You're not even Catholic." Which, I'm sorry, just made me laugh, because she's like, well, why do you care if you're not Catholic? And I said, "You know, it doesn't matter to us what religion we are. What matters to us is you. You, your soul, this magnificent body that you're in, the love that went into creating you, what you stand for in the world. You stand not for horror and destruction. You stand for love. You stand for peace. You stand for connection. You stand for connecting human and other, human and the divine. That's what we honor you for." And she's like, "Okay." So that's good. So we asked her what she wanted to say to the people of her country and to the world. And she said, "Well, the power center will always be here. The walls may be gone, but the power center will always be here." And you should know that. These power centers, in the beginning, are places where the ley lines of the planet come together. They're big, huge spots of massive collections of power, right? And that was rocked like a massive earthquake today. I could feel it all the way here. I didn't even know what was going on at first. So those power centers get rocked. And that is not the first time a power center has been rocked, of course. Not all of them have churches built on them. One of the last, 2004, do you remember the earthquake and tsunami in Indonesia? That was one of the first, what the spiritual realm calls, first seeable sign of the change into a new order. And you're seeing another one today. An accident, yes, but a death, absolutely. So I asked her, how can we support you? And she said, talk with her. Be there. And the people of Paris are there. They're witnessing. She said, talk with her. You know, help her through this. Talk with her. Be there with her. Don't forget her. Remember her. Remember her as she was for, what, 800, 900 years. Remember her. And she talked also about helping to restore the balance of bringing all life of the planet together as one, of connecting, you know. And again, that's part of my job, is to just tell you what I know, to help you make whatever connection that is for you to make whatever connection you can, to take what information I can give you and make that apply to your life in some way that makes your life better and easier, that helps you achieve your soul purpose, that helps the world. I mean, that's what we're all here for, right? Growing our souls and helping everybody else. And here's our opportunity to help restore balance. What does that look like? I don't know. It looks differently for each person. Does that mean we give them massive amounts of money to be to rebuild Notre Dame Cathedral, if that's what you want, if that's what you feel like? But the soul that was in that ancient body is now in the afterlife. The soul of the power center remains. I think, I don't know, but I would think it would take the actual destruction of the planet to kill a soul of a power center, to move a soul out of a power center. I don't even want to go any further than that. I don't even want to think about that. It's too horrifying. But the soul of Notre Dame is gone. So let me tell you what that means and how it looked. So this cathedral was a symbol of Christianity in France, of human connection to other on a deeper level, of not just a particular religion, but of the spirit, the spiritual connection, the divine. And this sign of change in the world reminds us that change can happen without our conscious intention. You know, no one went in there and tried to blow up this cathedral. This was not a terrorist act, not according to the building itself, not according to what she says. There was no one there with ill intent. And believe me, that building would know, that soul would know. She's been there for a long time. So I would be very surprised if they said this was a terrorist attack. To me, it was an accident, again. And there have been times in the past where this particular building has suffered during wartime and it's been rebuilt. But we should be very somber in thinking about that, because none of us will be alive if they ever build that cathedral, because that's how long it takes to build a building like that. Generations of human lives. But she was talking with me today about restoring the balance of life on the planet, and using her death as an opportunity to say, what is it that we believe in? What is it that we care about? What is it that we can do something about? How can we learn to love other as we love ourselves, as we should love ourselves? Because none of us love ourselves enough, that much I know from working with the dead. So let me tell you what happens to souls in the afterlife. So you may think that it's just us and our animals that go to the afterlife, and you'd be wrong, because every being that has a soul in it, which is everything, every being has an afterlife, right? So trees have afterlives, cars have afterlives, homes and buildings have afterlives. Now, if you remember, and or if you've been a client of mine, you know that I work with my dad, Ray Fritz, who died in 1994 and runs what I call a way station for dead things on the other side. And I call it that partly out of good humor, but partly to describe how the afterlife works as I see it, because I take away the blinkers that religion has put on us and culture through anything that I do, and I look at it as it presents itself to me, and that's why I can talk to you about things that other people may not be thinking about or talking about, because I'm curious, and I go out there and I introduce myself to things and ask them if they'd like to have a conversation. It's that simple. That's what we all could be doing if we thought about it. But I work with my dad in the afterlife. And some years ago, if you recall, there was a nuclear power plant meltdown in Japan, the Fukushima nuclear power plant. I was very ill that day with basically pneumonia, and this nuclear power plant showed up in my home that day screaming at me that it was dying. And I'm like, oh, holy macaroni. Like, I knew what it was because I'd actually been associated with the nuclear power plant industry in my ill-spent youth. And so that day, it was screaming that it was dying, and it wanted people to know that there'd been a breach of the containment core, whatever you call that, I can't remember now. And that radiation was leaking into the earth and into the air. That is one of the examples of the times I wish I had connection to someone in government, someone in science who would listen to people like me, because I knew that day of the earthquake, there was no way of saving that plant. The only thing they could do was try to stop the heat, which was open the gates for seawater. I actually told that to a Boeing engineer the next morning. And he was shocked that I would even suggest it. And yet that's what they did that night. So because I work with my dad in the afterlife and I work with non-humans, there are other beings besides animals and trees, but aliens and all these other kinds of beings that go to the afterlife. And so our deal is my dad asked me to help the stuck dead, and he asked me to be a medium so he could help. Together we could help people resolve their grief. And the other side of that is, Dad, will you help me with these non-humans that nobody realizes have souls and they're dying and they need to go to the afterlife? So that day I asked him, can you help the Fukushima nuclear plant? And he basically took that over. And then later I was like, oh my God, did we just irradiate the afterlife with radiation? And my dad is like, yeah, sort of. Actually, he goes, there are places in the afterlife for beings like that. Good to know, right? And yes, that nuclear power plant still carried that traumatized energy signature of radiation. So it was a big deal that it went to the afterlife. And my dad didn't take it into his way station, but talk to someone who runs a way station for buildings, and they took Fukushima there. So yeah, there are way stations for all different kinds of beings on the planet. Just like humans can choose to go to the afterlife in a place like my dad's, which is a, my brain just went slow, log cabin in a high mountain meadow surrounded by fir and pine trees. Other way stations for humans are in cities or small towns or whatever. Wild animals can have wild animal places, nature places. Sometimes they're with people. Buildings have places where buildings are safely contained and where they can relax. So that's why I'm giving you kind of the backstory of what happened next. So as we were talking with the soul of Notre Dame today. She said, I'm dying. And I said, I know. I'm sorry. I said, how can I help you? And at one point it was like, well, what do you think you can do for me? You're just a human. I go, yeah, I am just a human, but I am someone who can witness and I can tell others what you have to say, because not everybody can hear you or even knows that they could possibly have something to say. So I am here to help. I am here to witness. And is that okay by you? And she's like, oh, okay, that's good. So she was there for many, many years. And as we talked, she was wrecked by shock and grief. And she didn't understand about the afterlife. She goes, what is that like? And so we talked with her, and my dad was talking with her. And I said to her, I said, what I know from my work is that all souls go to the afterlife when the body that they were in dies. And it looks to me very much like the body that you're in has died today. And she said, but I have been here for so many years, I'm not sure I can let go. And I said, well, that's your choice, not mine. I'm just here to be here with you. And as the conversation continued, she said, I'm ready to go. And I'm going to hold here and just go for a break and finish up with this story after the break.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and today's special show is on the death of Notre Dame Cathedral. So, let me tell you what the soul had to say as she departed. So when she said, I'm ready to go, her spiritual team was with her. We all have a spiritual team. You know, my team was with her. My dad was there waiting for her on the other side. And here's the really cool thing. There's an Asian way station manager who said he's been doing his work since before the Great Wall was built. And I think he meant the Great Wall of China. So my friend and I have talked to him many times in the past. And he has helped us. And he showed up, and he's helping my dad open the doorway to my dad's way station big enough for this massive soul to come through. And I'm like, thank you. And he's like, you know, this is a very big deal. This is a soul that has stood for many, many centuries to be there as a light, as a beacon to people, to the world, to show what love is. So I asked her, beautiful soul, do you have any words that I can share with the people of the world, especially the people of France. And she said, continue to love and care for each other. Continue to believe that it matters that you love and care for each other. Know that I am grieving and I am shocked and I was not expecting this. But know also that love will always remain where I stood in this place for so many years. And know that I am ready to go, that I am sorry to leave you. And she said, say farewell to the people of France. And she's grateful to them for caring for her for so very long. And she said, well, I'm very tired. And I said, yes, I heard that a lot from people as in beings as they die, that they remember their long lives, if they've had long lives, but they remember their lives, and it's tiring to remember that. And then she started to float. She goes, I'm floating. She goes, it's not what she was expecting. And then I said, well, what were you expecting? And she said, well, I actually don't know what I was expecting. But she says, tell them I love them and tell them to love each other. And here's one last thing I want you to know about love and connection. Oh, sorry, I forgot to unplug my phone. Let me do that. So one last thing I want you to remember that I learned from the land itself some years ago. When there's a disaster in the world, if you will, when something shakes us up, when something massive changes, as today has changed in Paris, the death of Notre Dame Cathedral, we first go, oh my gosh, I never knew that something like that could happen. But of course it happens. Everything has a lifespan. It's not something we wanted to see. And it's not something that we'll recover from quickly, because love has those interesting ties and it connects us to things we may have never seen. A lot of us have never been there, have never seen the cathedral. I've been there. There are others that I would like to go back and visit again, because you can feel the weight of history around you. You can feel the weight of life. You can feel love and grief. You can feel how people have tried to love and to carry on. But here's the other thing. One of the things that we humans are essentially created to do is to witness. And to witness transitions, to witness change. And I first heard this from a local waterway that we call the Duwamish Waterway. Duwamish is a native term. And this waterway starts up in the top of Mount Rainier and flows down the mountain, and it becomes a river, and it empties into Puget Sound and into Lake Washington. But has been altered over time. But there was one time in that history of the Duwamish where a major flood occurred, and it changed, literally it changed the course of the river. And what we used to do in ancient times is we used to gather at the spot where that change occurred, where the change in the river occurred, for example, or today where Notre Dame Cathedral is dying, has died. And to give witness and to celebrate the life that was in that spot and that has now moved on. And by witnessing, we learn more about ourselves. We learn more about why we're here and what we're doing to grow our own souls. And we learn about love, and we learn about grief, and we learn about continuing to move forward. It is not easy. It is not easy to grieve. It is not easy to let go. It was not easy for this magnificent soul to let go of her body. But when she did, she floated. And it is our job then to witness and to celebrate that life. And by doing that, we bring new life in. We we make the ground fertile, so to speak, for new life to come in. And not by ourselves alone. All other life joins with us in that. But humans, because of who we are, how weird we are, how hard it is for us to grow our own souls, our standing and witnessing and celebrating transitions of other beings makes us better. It makes us understand how short a time we have to grow our souls in this particular incarnation, how much we can accomplish by just turning to ourselves and putting our hands on our hearts and saying, I love you, and how we can help this soul who's already transitioned. She's already in the afterlife. Even if some walls remain after today, which, as I went on the air now almost an hour ago, they thought nothing would remain. Whatever is there, whatever they build in that spot, there will be a new soul coming in. Not this old soul, which is gone. And here's one last thing I want you to think about. Kind of cute and really inspiring. She said, well, what am I going to do next? Like, what is there for me to do? And I said, you can do anything you want to do in your next incarnation. And she's like, well, give me some ideas. So I said, well, you could come back as a human, but that's a lot of work. And you've done a tremendous amount of work being a cathedral. And to be honest, that's a rare job. I mean, you have to juggle not just the people of your faith, but the people of different faiths and people who just want to see what history created here. So they might not be anything but what we call tourists, which is cool too. So, you know, there's another thing you could do, and it just popped into my head. I said, you could mentor new buildings. You could mentor new places of worship and connection, not just cathedrals, but places where people gather. I mean, there's the Colosseum in Rome. There's the ancient sites that were destroyed in the Middle East over the last 15, 20 years, deliberately destroyed. And you could mentor those souls as they cross over, and you could help them understand what it would be like to live in a body that goes on for a very long time and is a gathering place for other beings. She goes, well, that sounds really interesting. And I thought, you know, it really did sound kind of interesting. So she's thinking about doing that next. So that's just what I wanted to say today. Because of this peculiar job that I have, this ability to hear other beings, I become aware that it's also a responsibility to speak up and tell you what I know about them. For you to think, well, Robin's not quite all there, or maybe she's got something to say that means something to you. And that's all I can do. That's all I can do in the world. But I do know from the work that I've done, from just the time growing up as a child and people looking at me like, what is going on in that head? I know that I'm different, but I know I'm also not alone. And I know that you know, if you're listening, that you know that what I have spoken here today is true. And I hope that it inspires you to take that next step on your journey, whatever that is. To discover something in the world that you didn't realize was alive, something in the world that has its own purpose that's equal to ours, because they're all equal. And there are some souls that take massive jobs, huge jobs of bringing love and connection and peace and healing to the world. And some of those are in cathedrals. Some of those are in gigantic hospitals. Some of those are in ancient sites. Some of those are living on top of ancient power sources, ancient power centers, like Notre Dame did. And when they die, it is important for us to say, we love you. We thank you for serving us and the world and yourself. We are sorry to see you go, and we bless you on your way. So as we say goodbye today to her, I thank you for joining me, and peace and connection to all. Take care and goodbye.